issue needing to be discussed before anything else is considered postponed, tabled, or done away with for the sake of a pragmatic compromise of feasibility for now, but trouble later. Thank you.
Microphone 9. This is moderator, Pete Austin, Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I have a question, sir. Would the effect of passing this procedural motion be to let stand and to be approved the report that was adopted by the 5th General Assembly? Would it not be? We would just have no recommendation.
Let me ask the state clerk, would this material this year find its way to the Senate?
Mr. Moderator, that the question is asked for the court as to whether this material will find its way in the minutes. I will ask the assembly about the whole lengthy papers that are attached to it later on, if it is to. But I would assume the report part would find its way into the minutes. But in answer to Mr. Austin's question as to where we would be, I think we would be still with those various overtures that have been asked unanswered. And nothing actually would be on the record other than that we've made these studies and just received them as information up to this point.
The material contained in the studies presumably could or would or might find its way into the permanent record, but there would be no action of the assembly taken on that material. Microphone 15 has been standing for
George Bringle, Gulf Coast. Fathers, I'm tired too. My committee of commissioners is not yet done, and therefore, from a practical reason, I can see the advantage of this substitute or the motion on the floor at the moment. However, I would like to remind the court that we believe that the scriptures are the only and the sufficient rule for faith and practice. It would concern me that we as a court would make a step that would say in effect that we have not been able to come to terms with the scripture teaching of the practice involved in our church between ruling and teaching elders. I would plead with the court on the principle that scripture is a sufficient rule for faith and practice, that we defeat the motion before us, that in spite of the time and agony that may be ahead, that we establish procedures and we engage in debate.
13.
Moderator, calls the order of the day.
Not yet. Number 13.
Here, Sam Interior, Presbytery Ascension. I'd like to call for the question.
Question has been called for. We have a minute and a half in spite of that clock to the order of the day. The question is whether or not you want to shut off debate on Mr. Todd Allen's motion or whether you want to continue talking about it. If you want to shut off debate on the motion before the House, will you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, no. Debate is concluded and we are going to vote on Mr. Allen before the order of the day. If you support the motion by Mr. Todd Allen, will you raise your right hand? Just a minute. What was that? I beg pardon? State the motion again. I move that we receive the reports of the ad interim committee on the number of offices as information and register our appreciation for what they have done in their study and dismiss the committee at this time. If you support that, will you raise your hand? Down. If you're opposed to that, will you raise your hand? The motion is, I don't know. That's close. The moderator is very much in doubt. And now it's going to take longer than the order of the day to count it. What was that? Count it, the men said. All in favor of Mr. Allen's motion, stand and remain standing.
Mr. Moderator, I'll take the time to make some announcements. Again, for your information, we have 351 teaching elders, 212 ruling elders, 563. This is only about 40 short of what we were last year, which is, I think, a rather remarkable record. The Review and Control Committee, let me ask you if you will meet me up at the front immediately following the recess. Let me remind...
Will you be seated? Those of you who are opposed to Ms. Allen's motion, will you please stand and remain standing and be counted while you hear the announcement?
Let me remind the assembly of the fact that we have a bit earlier recess time set this evening at 9 p.m., and the idea is that we would have an intermingling joint time of dessert out on the lawn, and then, if possible, and I'm sorry to say that I have not heard of any announcements as to where, but if possible, we'll try to get those set during supper. Meetings of the various different counterparting committees of the different groups. In other words, Missions of the World groups from all churches meeting together. Missions of the U.S. from all churches, Christian education. I would like to have, at that point, a meeting of all the stated clerks of the presbyteries meeting in the recreation hall of Vanderwerp at 10 p.m. We'll recess at 9 at 10 p.m. All stated clerks meet in Vanderwerp Recreation Hall. Presbytery of Ascension is to meet at 6 p.m. today in room P300 upstairs in this building. Ascension Presbytery, 6 p.m., 300 upstairs. Commissioner lost some money yesterday. It has not been turned in to me. If anyone has found it, please turn it in and we'll try to get it to him. Also, the commissioner who lost his notebook, I think it was a man named Perkins. I saw a notebook with that name on it on one of the shelves on the mezzanine, or not on the mezzanine, on the main floor as you, where the waiting area is going into the dining room over in the commons. Chairman and Secretary of the Committee of Commissioners on the Board of Trustees for Insurance and Annuities request that this Committee of Commissioners on Insurance and Annuities meet immediately following today's afternoon session to approve the committee's report. Let me suggest that they meet right back in the back, that they meet immediately following the session.
All right. Will everyone please stand for prayer?
I have two more, Mr. Moderator, if I may make them.
All right.
The Committee of Commissioners for Christian Education and Publications will meet for supper at 5 p.m. in the private dining room number 2 in the mezzanine. That's the same one. That's it, Mr. Moderator. Right.
Mr. Hathaway will lead us in our closing prayer, microphone number 7. The vote was 157 in favor, 228 opposed. Motion lost. Ms. Hathaway, will you lead us in prayer?
Let us pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask thee to bless this congregation, this assembly and its business. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit will continue as it is, that of accepting of one another. You will direct our decisions so that they may glorify thee. Bless us now as we recess, that this time of refreshment may restore us in order that we might continue to conduct the business with proper dispatch. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Upstairs where y'all met yesterday.
Yeah.
If that's the thing, if you want me to moderate, I'll come up. And I'm not here.
That's good.
I'm trying to write a judgment, and I'll give it. I'm up there. You can send
it. I hope it doesn't come tonight. It may come tonight, but I doubt it very much.
I'll probably be back.
Okay, well, Jack, whenever that constitutional business comes up, we sure need you. Assembly will please come to order. Miss George Gully, will you please find your way to microphone number 15 and open this evening's session with prayer? Microphone 15, please. Jim.
May we pray? Father in heaven, with grateful hearts, we thank you for the great things that you've accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ through this assembly already. Lord, our hearts are thrilled and excited about the vision that you've given us, where this church might step in and be an effective instrument to accomplish your perfect will. Lord, we acknowledge before you and before each other that we are imperfect individuals, and we crave your blessing as we deliberate the matters of the church. We ask that you be with us in every deliberation tonight, that everything we say and do might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.
The order of the day is the report of the Committee on Bills and Overtures. Has that been distributed?
Is that an order?
Huh?
Is that an order?
What it says?
An order is there.
We have.
Yeah.
Right. We don't start with that.
You are right. Well, you are so right. I hadn't looked at it. I hadn't thought of it.
You got a motion today.
I don't know why.
Well, we're going to take up the order today, but I don't think we're going to use this bullet.
I'm going to postpone today. There is a handbook that was found in the commons. The other dining room down here on the front table. If somebody is missing one.
Sit over there forever. Oh, you're doing? Yes, sir, Mr. Rodney. Reverend Rodney King, Presbyterian of Western Carolina. Microphone 4.
Fathers and brethren, may we open with prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we do bow before you with thanksgiving, with adoration and praise at your mighty will. And Father, as we consider our own weakness and our own ignorance and all of the follies of which we are capable, we do praise you for the assurance that your sovereign hand does rule and overrule. Bless us now, we pray, and give unto us as the highest court of this your church your own wisdom, faith to be obedient unto you in all things. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Fathers and brethren, Rodney King, Western Carolina's Presbytery. I've been asked by the chairman of the Committee of Commissioners on Bills and Overtures to present the report for our committee. Would call your attention to the sheets being distributed, numbered pages 32 and 33. And if the court is willing, I'll proceed to read this.
Yes, sir. Just
the report.
Read it right on through to the bottom and then go back.
The report of the Committee of Commissioners on Bills and Overtures, Part 1, a listing of the items referred to us. All items handled by the Committee of Commissioners on Bills and Overtures were referred to it by the General Assembly. A, Overture Number 7, page 21, the Commissioner's Handbook, which you will find is an overture from North Georgia Presbytery. B, Overture Number 32, page 26 of the Commissioner's Handbook, the overture from Tennessee Valley Presbytery. C, Resolution Number 10 from W.A. Fitzhenry from the 5th General Assembly Minutes, page 70, which is, for your convenience, reproduced here, quote, Resolved that the General Assembly instruct all permanent committees in all future conferences and teaching seminars and preaching engagements have only PCA ministers, teachers, and speakers, or those from denominations with which we have fraternal relations, close quote. D, the resolution from the Reverend Fed C. Fowler to the 6th General Assembly that the General Assembly appoint an ad interim committee to study the subject of theonomy. And I might interrupt the reading to note that the written resolution disappeared somewhere between his hand and the hand of the stated clerk and the hands of the committee, so we just roughly handle it under that form. Part 2, the recommendations of the committee. A, regarding overture number 7, your committee recommends that the General Assembly affirm that dispensationalism is basically incompatible with covenant theology. Your committee also recommends that Christian Education Committee of the General Assembly be instructed to prepare and make available for distribution a study documenting the errors of modern dispensationalism in the light of our doctrinal standards. Unanimous vote, 8-0. B, regarding overture number 32, your committee recommends that overture number 32 be answered in the negative because these reasons. Number 1, the Human Life Amendment allows for abortion under certain circumstances. This overture, number 32, is inconsistent with the General Assembly's recent actions on abortion. Number 2, this overture is the endorsement of specific legislation based on a political, parentheses, not ethical, conclusion that amendment to the Constitution is the viable alternative. Again, unanimous vote, 8-0. C, regarding resolution number 10, your committee recommends that resolution number 10 from W.A. Fitzberry be answered in the negative. Vote unanimous, 8-0. D, regarding Fred Fowler's resolution, your committee recommends that this matter be referred to the General Assembly's Committee on Christian Education and Publications for a definition of theonomy, and that the CE Committee make recommendations to the 7th General Assembly regarding the disposition of this matter. Again, unanimous vote, 8-0. Moderator, I move you its adoption.
Wait a minute. Hold it just a minute, Mr. Chairman. In the first place, the moderator apologizes to the commissioner over here who was seeking the microphone. Oh, I know you don't have a copy of it. We are out of copies, brethren. There are no more copies. We'll just have to explain them to you as we go along and hope that there can be the reproduction of additional copies. But the copies that were available have been distributed, and there are no more copies for distribution. I am not at this point aware of just why. But it, my mistake, there was someone seeking the floor at 14, and I'm sorry, Mr. My apologies, sir.
I think I was out of order in view of the special order of the day.
Oh, you, all right. Then that's clear. Now, Mr. King, you're going to have to go back and take A, B, C, and D one by one, and not just the whole package. So the thing for you to do is go back and say, in regard to overture number 7, I move its adoption. We are going to take them one at a time.
Yes, sir. I'll apologize ahead of time for all of my many blunders. I don't know how it happened. This is the 6th General Assembly which I've attended, and this is my first real trip to a microphone. I realize that puts me in a minority, and I'll just ask your indulgence. Recommendation number A, regarding overture number 7, you'll find this on page 21 of the Commissioner's Handbook.
Just move it to adoption.
Do I not need to read it again?
No, sir. I think you can just move the committee.
Many of them don't have copies.
Well, yes, sir. Better read it again because so many don't have it.
The recommendation regarding overture number 7, your committee recommends that the General Assembly affirm that dispensationalism is basically incompatible with covenant theology. Your committee also recommends that the Christian Education Committee of the General Assembly be instructed to prepare and make available for distribution a study documenting the errors of modern dispensationalism in the light of our doctrinal standards. I move its adoption.
Microphone 13.
Mr. Moderator, brethren of the Assembly, W.J. Stanway, great presbytery, I simply want to direct a question to the chairman of the committee, please.
Yes, sir.
Is the committee aware of the fact that the PCUS did a study on dispensationalism some years ago that was a good piece of work that might be adapted slightly and put to use without the necessity of preparing an entirely new study?
Yes, sir. We were aware of that work. We were also informed by various members from that presbytery that they preferred that we produce something of our own. This is why you'll note the wording, if you have our recommendation, that we do not recommend an ad interim committee to study it, nor do we recommend an intensive study of the matter. We believe that it's basically incompatible on the face of it, that there is no question about it, but that because there may be certain questions, particularly in the minds of the congregation, that the Christian Education Committee prepare using already available studies is the understanding, to prepare in a brief form something simply to document these errors.
Microphone number 8.
Mr. Moderator, I have a substitution for the committee's recommendation. And the answer to Overture 7 from Presbyterian North Georgia, because of the clarity and fullness of the presentation of Christian truth in our Confession of Faith and Catechism, a study on the relationship between dispensationalism and covenant theology is unnecessary.
You have heard a substitution. I see a hand up in second of the substitution. Do you wish to speak?
Yes. As Dr. Stanway has mentioned, the PCUS did a fine study in 1944 showing the incompatibility of dispensationalism with our confession. Also, the RPCES brought a study in 1970 with the same conclusion. And I think there's a widespread knowledge of what good covenant theology is in our church. And we do have our confession. And I think this substitution would be a good answer to the overture from the Presbytery of North Georgia.
Moderator, may I speak to that, please?
Just a minute. Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, Ken Gentry, Westminster Presbytery. Can I speak against this motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I see what he's saying is true. For those who are trained in theological thought, it's obvious when you read the books of Charles Ryrie, J. Dwight Pentecost, or other dispensationalists, they begin their argumentation by refuting covenant theology. Those who have read those books should know this, and I agree with him that it's very apparent that it's contrary to our doctrinal statements of faith. But the report made by the PCUS was approximately 30 years ago or more, perhaps in 1944. A lot has happened since 1944. For one thing, me. I wasn't around in 1944, and there's a lot of people younger than me. But not just that, but dispensationalism has made great strides up in our recent times, as is evidenced by Hal Lindsey's book selling over 10 million copies. And I think it's our church is a conservative movement away from a liberal Presbyterian denomination, and a lot of our people, I'm afraid, might be looking at dispensationalism as a conservative movement as well, which it definitely is a conservative movement, but they might not get the connection between the elements of dispensationalism, which are conservative, and recognize that though they are conservative, they are contrary to the conservative Presbyterian position. And so in light of the fact that the PCUS study was so long ago, in light of the fact that dispensationalism made greater strides, in light of the fact that we are conservative, and it may appear that we embrace anything conservative, I would be against the brother's motion.
You want to speak for?
Mr. Moderator, Lyle Campbell, Calvary Presbytery. I would like to share with
my brethren here a quick personal anecdote. My brother-in-law, who is in a Baptist church, came home from a Sunday morning sermon and asked me in a totally shocked term if I realized what he had learned that very Sunday morning, that there were seminaries in the United States that did not teach the seven dispensations. Well, this was a real revelation to him. I feel that if our view is outward, not introspective, and not, although I feel this would be good for our congregation, that as we speak with our brothers, perhaps even prevailing on some of them, who recognize this truth of covenant theology, that a work of this sort would be a valuable piece of document.
Microphone 15. Let's don't overkill this issue.
Mr. Moderator, I just wanted to say that Jack Ross and Grace Presbytery, when we withdrew from the PCUS, we lost our property and things of this nature. And if one of my people wanted to know something about dispensationalism, if I gave him a study from the PCUS, they'd run me out of town on a rail. And I think we need our own statement from our own committee.
Now, that did open a can of worms. Back to microphone 10.
I call for the question.
All right. I recognize the call for the question. If you are ready to vote, say aye.
Aye.
If you would rather talk some more, say no. Roddy, you have just one word to close with.
Maybe 10 words, but no more. The substitution basically is saying some of the things that we've very seriously considered. You'll note that the first statement of the overture is that it is basically incompatible with covenant theology. This would be an affirmation of our assembly that we basically understand it to be incompatible. The second part simply says that we instruct them to prepare a study using prior sources, particularly the PCUS study of 1944, but that it be a study documenting the errors of modern dispensationalism, recognizing that it has been modified somewhat and that these need to be illuminated. So I would speak against the substitution and for the original.
We're going to vote on the committee's recommendation.
On the substitution.
Oh, I beg your pardon. You're right. On the substitution from number 8, you read it, Mr. Clerk.
Because of the clarity and fullness of the presentation of Christian truth in our Confession of Faith and Catechisms, a study on the relationship between dispensationalism and covenant theology is unnecessary.
All right. Those of you who favor the substitution will please say aye. Opposed, no.
No.
We are back to the original recommendation of the commission, the committee. Do you wish to discuss this further? No. Okay. Those of you who support the original recommendation of the committee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Number 2, Mr. Chairman.
Fathers and brethren, B, regarding overture number 32, you'll find this on page 26 of the Commissioner's Handbook. Overture from Mississippi Valley Presbytery. The heart of that overture asks us to endorse the Human Life Amendment to the United States Constitution, and number 2, to encourage PCA churches to pray fervently and work toward the establishing of this amendment as a part of the Constitution. Your committee overture recommends that overture number 32 be answered in the negative because, number 1, the Human Life Amendment allows for abortion under certain circumstances. This overture, number 32, is inconsistent with the General Assembly's recent actions on abortion. Number 2, this overture is an endorsement of specific legislation based on a political, not ethical conclusion that amendment to the Constitution is the viable alternative. I move its adoption and would like to speak to it briefly.
You don't have to. There's nobody looking for a mic.
Well, I'd like to just point out the reasoning, particularly in number 2. This is not addressing to the legal ethics of abortion that has already been spoken to, particularly points 6 and 8. of the committee's recommendations on abortion, asking us to encourage specific legislation, etc. This is the endorsement of specific legislation based on a political evaluation. That amendment is the only viable approach. Therefore, this is the one that we would endorse, whereas we as the committee thought that in Christian conscience we ought to allow our brethren to say, for example, that the Constitution allows for life and liberty in pursuit of happiness, that the Supreme Court ought to be overturned on that. That this would not be a spiritual or ethical conclusion, but political. And therefore, we voted in this way.
Those of you who favor the committee's recommendation, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Next one.
Number C, regarding resolution number 10, you'll find this printed on the handout, part C up above under Roman numeral 1. This is reprinted from the 5th General Assembly minutes, page 70. Your committee recommends that resolution number 10 from W.A. Fitzhenry be answered in the negative. I move its adoption.
Microphone 16.
Bill Fitzhenry, New River Presbytery. I'd like to move an amendment to the committee's recommendation that the permanent committee, this is the amendment that I would move, that the permanent committee is charged with the responsibility of conferences and seminars be urged to seek and use speakers whose theological views are consistent with the basic biblical views of our doctrinal system.
Will you read that again? I just want to be sure it isn't a direct opposite from the recommendation.
That the permanent committees charged with the responsibility of conferences and seminars be urged to seek and use speakers whose theological views are consistent with the basic biblical views of our doctrinal system.
That is not a direct opposite, and consequently it would be admissible, and I do accept it as a substitute for the committee's recommendation. Is there a second? There it is, seconded. Do you want to speak to it, Mr. Fitzhugh?
Mr. Moderator, I have two prime considerations here. First, with the fact that we're going to have conference grounds and conference speakers, it would appear that even with no greater instruction than there is in this amendment, that there is a concern given to our committees to give them direction in choosing speakers. And secondly, that maybe some of the problems or the errors in the past might not happen again. Thank you.
Microphone 8.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, Ed Wallace, Presbytery of Mid-Atlantic. I've got a question concerning, some of us do not have copies of this whole thing given by the Judicial Committee, not Judicial Committee, the Commission on the Bills and Overtures. And I'd like, if it's pleasing to the court, for this whole thing to be read out. Now, not the whole sheet, but the ones that we don't have any copy of. We're just in the dark, some of us.
All right, I'm going to take the liberty to save time to point out the difference. The original resolution would have instructed responsible agencies to use only PCA ministers, teachers, and speakers, or those from denominations with which we have fraternal relations. This is the one that's being answered in the negative. The substitute would say that they seek to use ministers whose views, doctrinal and otherwise, here we are, speakers whose theological views are consistent with the basic biblical views of our doctrinal system. It's not quite as prohibitive as the original resolution would have been. In essence, as the moderator sees it, that is the difference between the proposal before us and the original. Microphone 9.
Tom Llewellyn, Mississippi Valley. I just have one question here. What does this do to essentially inviting a John Stott or a Dr. Leon Morris or something of this nature? It ought to be wide enough that discretion in such matters could be used.
Is there anyone who feels they could answer that question?
Mr. Moderator, I will. On behalf of the committee, the intent of this which has been labeled a substitute, I would infer to be more of an amendment. This is basically the position of the committee. The original would have prohibited such from appearing in our conferences. And this is why we recommended to be answered in the negative. As modified, it says that those of the same basic theological position be allowed to speak and be invited. And this is the intent of our answer, and also would be very compatible with our feelings on it also.
Let me be sure that there isn't anyone else before you get your second chance. All right, microphone 16.
Just wanted to say that that is an amendment. It is not a substitute.
Oh.
It's amendment to the committee's recommendation.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I accept it as a substitute for the committee's recommendation.
No, sir. It's written on there as an amendment, and I read it out as an amendment.
Well, I know what it's written on there as, but it is not an amendment, and I cannot accept it as an amendment. I could accept it as a substitute. I cannot accept it as an amendment because it is not an amendment.
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to have it as a substitute then. Thank you.
Well, that's thank you, sir. I see no one else. Yes, sir. Microphone 10.
Ken Gentry, Westminster Presbyterian. I was wondering, we were talking about basic theological issues. This would prohibit someone with basic differences from our perspective. Would that, could that be interpreted?
There's nothing in the substitute which uses a phrase or implies prohibition as such.
Could I have it read again, sir?
Will you read it, Mr. Clerk? Read.
That the permanent committees charged with the responsibility of conferences and seminars be urged to seek and use speakers whose theological views are consistent with the basic biblical views of our doctrinal system.
Okay, well, that might answer my question. I was wondering, could they seek and use a Reformed Baptist since he has a basic difference with us on emphasis? Okay.
Microphone 13.
I had a question similar to that. Men like Billy Graham and Louis Palau, and who do not hold Reformed views as many here hold them, I would not like to see us exclude men like that who have a lot to say to us. And if you just rule apparently that would not be the case.
Are you ready to vote? I sense that you are. I see no one seeking the microphone. Those in favor of the substitute, well, please raise their hand. Down. Those opposed to the substitute. The substitute now becomes the main motion, and we are voting on the substitute as the main motion in place of the committee's recommendation. Does anyone want to discuss it further? If you will accept the substitute as the main motion, will you please say aye?
Aye. I mean,
and if you oppose it, will you say no? The substitute is adopted. Number C, Mr. Chairman.
Number D, regarding the resolution introduced by Mr. Delegate Fowler last evening, your committee recommends this matter be referred to the General Assembly's Committee on Christian Education and Publications for a definition of theonomy, and that the CE Committee make recommendations to the 7th General Assembly regarding the disposition of this matter. I move its adoption, sir. And by way of explanation, we on the bills and overtures debated for some number of minutes before we concluded that none of us knew completely what a theonomy was. If as our moderator of the moment last evening defined it, theonomy is simply the law of God, then I would have to assume that we're all in favor of the law of God since we've said we're not dispensationalists. However, it has apparently much broader implications than that. How broad, we as the committee did not think we were capable at this time of judging. Also, we were not capable and did not think the General Assembly would be capable at this point of seeing it, whether or not it was a tempest in a teacup or whether it was a major concern to the General Assembly. There are no specific cases before the Assembly where someone has been disciplined because he was a theonomist, or disciplined because he was not a theonomist. There is no specific case on record. And we thought that to have an ad interim committee to study would be an expensive extravagance, that we could ask the CENT committee to come up with a definition of what it is, and then next year recommend whether we as a General Assembly, recommend to us that whether we as a General Assembly ought to all try to understand what it is and whether we is or isn't. And so we would move this recommendation.
Microphone six.
Stephen Parker, Evangel Presbytery. I have a substitute motion.
Let's hear it.
That a committee be formed and a definition and a position be established whether it is compatible, that is theotomy, with biblical reformed theology and the Westminster Confession. And if somebody will give me a second, I'll speak to it.
You have a second.
Since this has come up as an issue, there are some serious implications, or at least they seem to be such. That is the possibility that between now and the next General Assembly that we might bring into our ranks a number of men that hold this position. If we decide that it is incompatible with the general direction of our understanding of the Reformed faith, then we've made a mistake to bring them in, and we have a problem. So I feel that we should try to determine if we should take some action until at least a permanent decision can be made. There will be some guidelines given as to how we can act as presbyteries in examining these men and how to treat them.
Hold it right there, my brother. First of all, it's written out. Now, I need to understand. I heard your motion, and the language of it was legal, but I need to understand why you think that motion is going to carry more weight than something done by Christian Education Committee reported next December. Are you vesting this group with some sort of authority between now and next General Assembly? Or you better read that again.
No, I'm hoping that it will come to some decision before this assembly is out.
Before this assembly is out?
Yes, so that
that's
we can
why
have...
That's why I said you better read it again.
Okay. That a committee be formed and a definition and a position be established whether it is compatible with biblical reform theology and the Westminster Confession.
That's for this assembly. That's what I thought you said. And that's what you had in mind?
Yes, sir.
All right. Just want to be sure that's what you had in mind. Microphone 9.
Bernard Kuiper, North Georgia Presbytery. I'm against
your resolution, man.
I'm against this. Oh, my resolution. You want to read it? I am against. You kept me off the track. This thing just over here. See, we are in danger of somebody making a resolution that we're going to study how many angels can stand on the head of a pin. Now, angels with wings. The thing is that I know that the ramification of theonomy is much greater than that, possibly. But we've got to remember that if we are the Church of the Living God, and if we do what God wants us to do, then Satan is going to attack us, and Satan is going to seek means and ways by which he can split this assembly all the time. Once we deal with this theonomy, which is going to take three or four General Assemblies, and then still find the for and against, then some other thing will come up. We are all the time defending our position, defending ourselves, and arguing with each other, whereas we are supposed to, I believe, from Scripture, to storm the gates of hell. We're supposed to attack Satan. We're not supposed to let him attack us. And we can continue to discuss these theological issues, which many of us know nothing about at the moment, and when we finish with it, we'll be more confused than when we began. I'm against it.
No. You're just Australians, that's all that is. We enjoy each other, but that, and I hope that doesn't detract from the seriousness of the issue, because it is serious. Microphone number 5.
I'm in accord with what was just said, because I think it is a serious thing. I believe that any of us could bring some subject up for study We don't know why this person suggested theonomy. We have no reason for his purpose, which I think would be only honest before the church court to say, this is the reason why I think it's appropriate for us to study this. Nothing like that. And I have a lot of things I would like to bring up for the assembly to study once you start something like this. I'm very much against it.
Microphone 13. James Luce, Central Georgia Presbytery. Is it in order, Mr. Moderator, to call for the question?
Yes, it is.
I call for the question.
You call for the question. The request is for termination of debate. If you wish to terminate debate, would you say aye?
Aye.
If you want to talk about it some more, say no. We will vote on the substitute. Will you read it again, please, Mr. Clerk?
Please.
That a committee be formed and a definition and a position be established whether it is compatible with biblical reform theology and the Westminster Confession.
This is what you're voting on. If you favor the substitute, will you say aye? If you are opposed, will you say no?
No.
We are back to the original recommendation of the committee. Do you wish to debate the original recommendation of the committee? Microphone number 8.
Mr. Moderator. James Moore, Calvary Presbytery. I served on this committee and the question was asked and our chairman didn't say it, but information came that at least in 3 presbyteries churches are suffering, individual congregations are crying. Now if the presbytery can't give them the answer, then they refer it to the General Assembly. Now maybe it doesn't make much difference to somebody's congregation as long as it's not mine. It's being torn to pieces. If it's yours, it's fine. This is not a laughing matter. By the next General Assembly, somebody said it would take 3 or 4 General Assemblies. If we have 3 congregations a year that are torn apart by this, in 4 years we'll have 12 plus the 3 that are going now. That's 15. We can't afford that with one. We don't have the answers in this committee. I don't know who does. But this was one way that the committee thought we could get an answer before the General Assembly and before these 3 congregations that are crying now. Perhaps you've never had the occasion of people coming to you and weeping because their brothers, I don't mean brothers in Christ, I mean their blood brothers, are drunkards, living in sin. And then they catch on to one of these little items and suddenly they become the most famous evangelists in the village. And it's a crying shame that our church, we can speak to many things, but when the church, the congregation says help, we say we're going to storm the gates of hell. And I agree, I'm an evangelist, but I don't have that answer and the committee doesn't. We only had less than 50% of the committee in attendance. Now here is a cry for help. And here is a way we can do it without too much of expense. And as one member of that Bills and Overture Committee, I urge you to treat this with the respect of 3 crying congregations. They're very small. But that's part of our effort to help them and to help the other people. Thank you, Mr. Moderator.
Speaker at microphone 13, do you have anything really to add to that?
This is Fred Fowler from Tennessee Valley Presbytery. I entered this resolution last night because it had come to my attention some additional problems in churches. We had been talking a good deal about building churches. Some persons had come into churches where the problem was that because of their concept of theonomy, I'm not saying because of their concept of theonomy, persons within the churches were saying such things as, well, if we're going to build, we have to take out a loan. We can't do it for more than 6 years. because we're obligated under the law of the Old Testament to keep any term or any loan 6 years or under. It becomes very practical, and as a result, it's leading one of the congregations to a split. And because when I face a person on the floor of presbytery, I'm an examiner as a chairman of the commission of the minister, committee of the minister, and a person states certain views which to me are unusual, and I'm not quite sure how to answer or question that person in his examination. I know there's a lot that as a practical way as a minister, I'd like some guidance and help in. And I was not bringing this up as a form of condemnation. I was bringing it up as a desire to understand the whole issue of theonomy. As I understand, there are many persons that are facing this question, and they don't understand it either. And when I ask persons about it, it seems like we're all in the same situation, or most of us anyway. While the subject itself is relatively young, I would like to examine it, to have someone of our denomination examine. I understand that some professors of Reformed Seminary are going to be examining the subject, but they are not necessarily connected to our denomination. I'd like to have some direction by our denomination as to the subject of theonomy. That was the reason I presented. Thank you.
Is the speaker at mic 16 for or against the committee's report?
I say, Nigel Lee of Tallahassee, Gulf Coast. Mr. Moderator,
are you for or against?
I favor the adoption of Recommendation D, and I would like less than 1 minute to speak to it.
You don't need that minute. I sense the feeling of the General Assembly. We have had full and adequate explanation. I think you are ready to vote it.
Then I would like 30 seconds to vote to speak on it, sir.
30 seconds you have, sir.
Thank you. Hopefully, Mr. Moderator, we all know the distinction between theosophy and theonomy. But the distinction between theonomy, theocracy, and Christocracy, and antinomianism and neo-nomianism is perhaps more difficult. For this reason, and to do a very thorough job which this important subject merits, the only way to handle this is for us to endorse Recommendation D of this committee and give this important subject the treatment that it deserves. Thank you, sir.
28 seconds. Thank you, Dan.
Mr. Moderator, I counted 30 seconds.
Sir?
I counted 30 seconds.
Oh, you... I thought you wanted to say something. Now I was going to say no. Those in favor of the committee's recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. You know, brethren, sometimes you can overkill, and it isn't necessary. That was done very well. Do you have anything further, Mr.
Mr. Moderator, I move you for the adoption of the report as a whole, as amended.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Now, can we finish the balance of all the ad interim reports before we recess? Yes, sir. Number 13, and we are back. First of all, wait till we find out where we are. Has this thing anything to do with the business just transacted?
No, Mr. Moderator. I wish to make a procedural motion regarding the ad interim report.
Well, let's get the ad interim report back before us. Where's the chairman of the ad interim committee? Okay. All right. We have heard the three positions. And there is no one at the microphone at the moment. I am going to recognize Mr. Dunkley for procedural motion. 13.
That we postpone perfecting any single report until after voting on the substitute motion, and that we then refine that which is or becomes the main motion prior to its final adoption. That we postpone perfecting any single report until after voting on the substitute motions, and that we then refine that which is or becomes the main motion prior to its final adoption. This is the procedural question. I asked you further if it was in order, and you said that it was. So now I wish to make it.
Now, Mr. Ducker, my understanding is that your procedural motion would have us consider two of the three.
Well, what the way I understand it would happen here is that we've got before us a motion and two substitutes.
Yes.
So we would not, as you had originally proposed, we would go through each single report, each single set of recommendations, and refine each one, and then pick one. What I'm suggesting that we do is we debate the three in general, the comparative merits of them, and then we vote first whether we substitute number two for number one, then whether we substitute the winner of that. First whether we substitute number two for number one, and then whether we substitute that winner for the main motion. The usual way of voting on substitute motions until we've got one motion before us, one particular report, and then we refine that report prior to its final adoption. Rather than refining three and then deciding which one, the usual procedure of voting on substitute motions will give us finally one of these three reports as our main motion. Do we substitute the second substitute for the first? Then do we substitute the winner of that for the main motion? And out of that process, we're going to find out which report we prefer, and then we refine it.
Now,
it's going to save us a lot of time.
Don, I want to help you, my brother.
All right.
And
appreciate it.
I think you are saying that you want this assembly to debate the merits of the two points of view and decide from that debate which of the two substitutes the assembly would prefer. Is this what you want?
No. Technically, we have before us three reports. In reality, two of these reports were written by the same man, give or take an individual here or there. Two of these reports are similar. Now, there's a sense in which basically we're going to be debating two positions, but technically we're going to be debating three reports, and one could argue that one was a third report. Third position. Basically, what I want us to do is just to get one report in front of us and then revise that and adopt it, rather than revising three different reports and
all
then
right,
choosing.
That will require setting aside the rules. It will require setting aside the rules because it means we will not follow the procedures in Robert's rules.
If Robert's rules requires us to refine all three before we select one, then that would differ.
I'm trying to help you.
All right.
I just want what you
and
want.
I'm trying to help you save time.
You want the assembly to decide on one of those two positions and then refine it.
Essentially, to accept one of three reports. Now, they're really basically two positions in the three reports, since the same men wrote two reports, but we've got three reports in front of us.
That's say what he wants, so you can vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Let me read it again. That we postpone perfecting any single report until after voting on the substitute motion, and that we then refine that which is or becomes the main motion prior to its final adoption.
Brother, you've made your motion. Is there a second? It's been seconded. We're debating a procedural motion.
Is this debatable?
You want me to explain the...
Let's not explain nothing. Is it debatable?
It is debatable.
It is debatable. All right. We are debating the procedural motion. I'm take 14.
All right. I'm Arthur Rogers, Covenant Presbytery, ruling elder. I also have a procedural motion which I would like to make as a substitute.
For this one?
For this one.
Let's hear it.
That we receive all three reports as information, refer all overtures involved to the Permanent Judicial Commission for consideration and report to the 1979 Assembly, and dismiss the ad interim committee with the Assembly's thanks for a job well done. If I get a second, I'd like to say a few words to that.
Arthur, I'm going to rule that that's too much like the one we turned down.
It has a great deal of dissimilarity. We do something, we don't leave the overtures hanging as the other one did. I think that's a major distinction. And I think that we need to answer those overtures. And this is the way we can do it. We need to make some disposition of it.
All right, so I'm going to rule that that's too much like the one we voted on before, and I'm going to take that comment as an appeal of the moderator's ruling. So if the assembly wishes to follow that procedure, they will overrule the moderator's ruling. Is everyone clear? That we'll just be doing all over again what we did just before supper. And if you see enough difference, you will overrule me at this point. If you sustain the moderator's ruling, will you say aye?
Aye.
If you do not sustain the moderator's ruling, will you say no?
No.
If you sustain the moderator in respect to the similarity of the proposal and the one that we voted down, will you hold up your hand? Down. If you do not sustain, will you hold up your hand? I'm sorry, Arthur. We are back to the original procedural motion. You want to talk about the original procedural motion by Mr. Dunkley? 15.
I'm Holman Johnson, Bangor Presbytery. Wednesday, June the 21st, 1978, the time is 8:20. I motion that the debate on the question of the number of officers of the church of the PCA be postponed and taken up at a later date. And if I get a motion on that, I'll give it the time and take it up again.
Motion to postpone is in order. And is it seconded? You said a later date. What do you mean?
Set the time for debate on it.
Sir?
Set the time for debate on it.
You can't do that. You're going to have to set it to a specific time.
If you don't have the time now, it's indefinite.
You're going to have to set it to a specific time.
I will.
Now.
Now.
Friday, 7:30 p.m.
That's the first time I've heard a motion to table in that language.
you have to have a regular thing. Put it on a regular.
It's debatable.
You bring it up, will you?
It's debatable.
Does he have a second to that?
Does he have a second to that? I see no one seeking a microphone. We will vote on the motion. The motion is to postpone to a definite time. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
The motion is lost. Microphone 13. Do you want to debate this procedural motion, sir?
No, sir. I want to ask if it's in order for a matter of personal privilege. I have a few remarks I'd like to address to the General Assembly. This is John Vanderbilt from Stalin.
Will you wait until we decide what we're going to do with the report, and then I'll recognize you.
All right. How are we going to handle it? Then I'll recognize you
as soon as we decide how we're going to handle it.
Microphone 9.
Tom Llewellyn, Mississippi Valley. We're trying a lot of things procedurally. I'd like to try this. It won't take long to shoot it down. If it's not what the Assembly wants, not what the Assembly wants, not what I want. I would move procedurally that we vote on these plans now without further debate, and then that we perfect the one that we have then, because I believe most people know exactly how they want to vote at this particular
point.
Question.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. He didn't call the question. No, he seconded that, and he debated it before he made it, so it's out of order.
Now, I'm being told that that's out of order, and I'm disagreeing with my parliamentarian. My understanding is that your procedural motion is that we proceed to vote on which of these plans we would approve now without debate.
Yes, sir.
And that after we have decided which one we approve, we then go to perfect it?
Yes, sir.
That is a procedure, and if the Assembly wants to do that, it has the right to do it if it can muster the proper majority.
Number five.
Mr. Moderator, will you remind the Assembly that takes a two-thirds vote?
It does. As a matter of fact, it may even take more than that.
I have these brethren over here saying that he is in effect calling for the question, and I am not. I don't believe he's calling for the question. I believe he's calling for a particular vote as a procedural matter, and I'm going to so rule unless I'm overruled. Now, it will take the two-thirds majority of the Assembly to do such a thing, and this is what we're debating, a procedural motion. Is that what you want to speak to? Wait a minute. Point of order. 13.
I believe that my procedural motion is still on the floor. Does this mean you're accepting his as a substitute for mine?
Substitute for yours. All right, 10.
To moderator, I am not comprehending all of this.
Mr. Moderator.
Is what we need.
A point of order, Mr. Moderator.
All right, point
of order. The motion contains the word without debate. And if that motion is without debate, there can be no debate on the motion.
You're correct.
Right.
You are correct. We cannot debate the motion if the motion calls for an action without debate.
Mr. Moderator,
do we need a motion?
Question?
Okay.
If we need a motion that the Assembly put aside the Robert's Rules of Order in order to address this other parliamentary procedure, then I move that we put aside the rules on this point so that we can then proceed with the subject.
No, sir, I'm afraid you're out of order.
Okay.
We're going to vote on the procedural motion. Is there any question by anyone in the Assembly?
Yes, Mr. Moderator, I'm not sure where we are on the number of people we will need to vote to suspend or change the rules, and I think this is the effect of this. Take two-thirds of the enrollment, not just two-thirds of the people on the floor, but two-thirds of the enrolled commissioners. And if that's the way,
that's
I think that's
correct.
The way
it will take two-thirds of the enrolled commissioners. Do you have a question? No, sir.
We have 563 commissioners enrolled. We'll figure out what two-thirds is.
If people out there rather drink coffee, that's their business. We are going to vote on a procedural motion, which would be to proceed now to express our preference for one of the three plans that have been laid before us in some considerable detail. Are you ready to vote? If you favor the procedural motion, will you hold up your hand? Down. If you oppose the procedural motion, will you hold up your hand? We may just very well have it. We're going to have to count because this is going to have to be something like 250. If you favor the procedural motion that has just been voted, will you please stand and remain standing until you're counted? Hold it. Point of order. I believe that this vote is to substitute Mr. Llewellyn's procedural motion for my procedural motion.
That's correct.
I don't think that it would take two-thirds to substitute one motion for another. It would take two-thirds
to adopt
whatever becomes the main motion.
You're correct. Be seated. The motion has substituted. Yes, that was sufficient to substitute. It now becomes the main motion in place of Mr. Douglas motion. You're correct. At this point, for adoption, we will need two-thirds of enrolled commissioners if you want to do it that way. If you favor microphone 16, or question about a point of order, is the thing, is that that was just voted on not subject to debate at any point, even when it's being voted as a substitute, that we accept it as a substitute first? It's not subject to debate. All right. You have a question? All right, right up here in front. Number nine,
Dennis Coffey, North Georgia. I don't think there is any other man in this assembly who has been more often embarrassed by Mr. Roberts and his rules than I have. And I think we need to just be careful of this thing, that the philosophy, the reason why Roberts' rules of order wants each report to be adequate, so that a person who would feel inclined to vote for number two may be afraid to do so when it is inadequate, when it is correct.
That's like you, the debate.
Okay, I'm just asking. Would it be true that a person may be asking the question that...
No.
11. Mike for 11. 11. Mr. Moderator, Paul Zetterholm, ruling elder from Central Florida. I'm a ruling elder. It's my first time on a General Assembly, and I'm confused beyond words. And I should like to ask the moderator for a clarification of the motion, the substitute motion, the effect of what we've just voted, and all of the discussion that's gone on about two-thirds and all of the rest of it, so that I know exactly what I'm voting for. I just appeal to my ignorance. I'm going to ask the stated clerk to give a careful explanation as though no one had ever voted before.
Mr. Moderator, we had one procedural motion by Mr. Dunkley to discuss and then to vote. And not to make any amendments, but just to discuss, then to vote, and then to amend. Then we had the other procedural motion saying we would vote on these three without any discussion. The motion that we just passed is whether we would substitute the second motion in the place of the first one. And you have just approved that by majority. Now, if you now will vote in favor of that motion of actually making that your procedure, that's what's going to take a two-thirds vote of the entire registered House, 348 votes.
Well, I know what he wants to say. Microphone 11. Mr. Moderator, I still have a question. I do not understand the phrase without debate. Is the effect of that phrase to mean that if this is approved and if we are going to vote for one of three of these things, that there will be no debate on the floor on these issues whatsoever?
That
is correct. Number 10. One additional question. Will there be a prefatory explanation in condensed form of each of the three? No debate, but a prefatory explanation. It would seem to the ignorant delegate, whoever he may be, including myself, that such a prefatory explanation would be of utmost importance. Mr. Moderator, I would judge not. I would judge if you want that sort of thing, you want debate. You ought to vote this procedure down. If you do not want that sort of thing, then go ahead and move. If you already know your position and don't need any more debate on it, vote for this thing now. The rule says that the chairman shall have the last word in debate. And if the last word in debate is not going to be even the first one, then presumably the last one has been spoken. Number 16.
Yes. If we follow the procedure which this procedural motion we're about to vote on recommends, is it true then that having voted, we may then only refine or perfect, according to the definition you gave, the document that we choose? And that no substantive changes may then be made in it. We must either approve it as is or turn it down.
The time has expired, and we're going to have to start voting, but you are essentially correct. If we choose one of these documents, the Assembly having chosen that document, then has the privilege of being with it, whatever it is. Mr. Moderator, I then move you that we suspend the rules in order to debate the advisability and the wisdom of applying this procedure to this question.
No, sir.
I think it's awful.
No, sir. I'm afraid not.
You have a question? Line 12, Mid-Atlantic Secretary. After, with the no debate motion, we are going to select one of three plans. Are we going to rule that we will have to pass that by a majority, or will 34% pass it? Please. Once the procedure's been adopted, the Assembly will then adopt by the manner proportion required to adopt any report. All right, the procedural motion.
Bonnie, you have a question.
Kevin. Ron Hathaway, great presbyter. Mr. Moderator, I have a question that may impinge upon a point of order. Does the motion say adopt a plan? Could I request that the motion be read? All right. Good. That we vote now on the plans before us without further debate and then perfect the plan which we choose. Thank you. The word adopt, not you. We're going to vote. Those of you who favor this procedure, stand. And remain standing to be counted. Will you be seated? There's no need to take the negative because we have a total of enrolled commissioners, and we need to know if that total, as two-thirds of that total, has been reached. Did not reach it.
We are back
to the original proposal, which is that each of the
proposals be
perfected if it seems to require such in the minds of the commission. That doesn't mean that everything has to be done on any of them before they are then voted upon. Number 7 first. Microphone 7.
John Clement, Central Georgia.
Mr. Moderator, I move that in place of perfecting all three reports, either simultaneously or seriatim, that minority report number 2 turn majority report of the 5th General Assembly closed term be substituted for the majority report of the committee. I repeat the second, I speak to it. Wait a minute. To go ahead and move the adoption of the minority number 2, which is the proper one to be voted on first anyhow, it may do so. And I think that that's what you want to do.
Yes, sir.
And you have been seconded?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have before us minority report number 2 for adoption. You have the microphone.
Would you instruct me, sir, that I speak only to the merits of my motion for this procedure?
No, sir. You have moved minority report number 2 for adoption. It's open for debate.
Mr. Moderator, in the meanwhile, may I ask Dr. Dunmore to present?
Microphone number 13. I promised Dr. Dunmore that he would have a statement of personal privilege before we begin actual discussion of the issue itself.
Brothers and brethren, I hope that you will forgive my temerity and you have heard what I have said,
and that you won't take my remarks as facetious, because I have never been more serious in all my life.
Now, we're going into a period.
I have two things that I would like to ask of your former assembly. You're going into a period of debate
that can both be historic and critical
in the light of this general assembly.
You are fixing to attempt to unseat the unseatable.
You are fixing to dealing with problems that have been before the Christian community for hundreds of years, and the best theological minds have never been able to unravel this. Now, I would ask the good God to give you grace of humility to realize that you don't know it all, that you are not the repository of all theological knowledge, nor of all theological wisdom.
Come on now.
I want him to give you that grace of mercy. And the second thing is that I am an elder. I am no theologian. I have no theological training. You young fellows have just gotten out of the seminary. And I ask that you grant unto me and unto the moderator, who must get you out of the parliamentary morass into which you fall, mercy. But you, as your guide, let them be your scripture. For the book of Zechariah, in the 7th chapter, in the 9th verse, thus speaketh the Lord, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, bring to pass 2 judgments, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother.
Thank you.
That's from number 7. John Clemens, Central Georgia Presbyterian. As one of the commissioners know, I have had a personal, long, and deep interest in the subject before us tonight. As a student of Dr. George Knight at Covenant Seminary, he has been one of the principals consulting the various committees on this subject, and of his mentor, John Murray, I hold a position that some would recognize as a theophyte. Some of you who've been with us since the 2nd General Assembly at least would recognize me as the scoundrel
that made the first motion to set up the first committee that's been going on for 4 years. I served for 3 of those 4 years on the study committee. And I have spent not just hours, but days, weeks of my life studying these issues. I think they are important. And I have studied deeply both the majority and the minority reports of this assembly. And what I want to do in urging you to adopt minority number 2 is to see the broad view of these 3 plans. The issues before us are in these 3 plans. The majority report this year essentially maintains the position of the current book of church order, and while it says it is not counting the numbers of officers, de facto it is. If you look at recommendation number 6 on pages 2102 and 2103 of your handbook, you will see that while they don't take the adding machine and come to the sum total, there are 3 chapters remaining in the book of church order. 1 for teaching elders, 1 for ruling elders, and 1 for deacons. I would say that the majority report this year is essentially remaining to be a 3 office view, with some modifications. This year's first minority report, the one that was distributed in the handout that we've had for several days, is basically a radical 2 office view. It would say that the scriptures recognize inherently no difference between types of elders, and it would call for minor overwhelming implications of change upon the church. I would urge you to see a better position. The position contained in minority report number 2, which was last year's majority report, is that never heard one word of debate on the floor of the assembly. First of all, I would urge you to see that report is both, and I underscore that word, both biblically oriented and recognizes our current place in church history. The PCA can comfortably live with minority report number 2. It finds us where we are. It does not destroy the assembly. I would earnestly suggest, and I believe it in my heart, that those who are either radical 2 office or radical 3 office will not have to leave the assembly because of the adoption of this report. We can recognize that our current position does have problems. Take the changes that are necessary to take us that first baby step along to where many of us see the Bible is and where we're not. Take that first step without bringing division to our denomination. I would urge every commissioner here to support the second minority report. Those of you who hold the classic 2 office view, I urge you to consider changing that view just slightly in terms of function. Call it 3 functions instead of 3 offices. For those who hold the more radical 2 office view, I urge you to support the second minority as the only place we can take this to on that first step. And I urge all the men of you here who wish we weren't even hearing this discussion, who wish we hadn't even studied it at all, yes, I would urge you to support that as a way that the PCA can deal with a biblical issue that has implications in raising up the level of ministry throughout our church, even the foreign field. And hope that you could support minority report number 2.
My phone number 16.
Mr. Moderator, with this in order, I'd like to move an amendment to the motion on the floor that C and D of minority report number 2 be deleted. If I could get a second to that, I'd like to speak to it.
Hold it.
You're moving the deletion of what, please, sir? Of C and D on page 195 of the minority report number 2.
When you read those questions to the B
General Assembly.